Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Well, everybody, welcome once again to Worship Sunday. It's great to have you with us this morning. I am, of course, super excited that we get to take over this Sunday and worship together and talk about the topic of worship, which is a massive topic. We could take hours and days to cover all the things that we would like to cover with you, but we have a few points we want to talk about today. Before I do, I just want to take this opportunity to thank Pastors Steve and Susan for welcoming us here today, for handing over the platform and the podium, so to speak, and allowing us to just talk about this a little more deeply than we normally get to. I also want to mention that we're really excited about the month of September. We have a new series starting next week. It's going to be strong biblical teaching. So if you have family or friends that could use a little of that in their lives, don't forget to be praying about that and inviting them to church. You can invite them to our watch services here in the building on Sunday mornings, or you can invite them to come to your house or sit on your back deck and watch church together. That's actually one of the great things about this season that we're experiencing right now, is it allows us to be a little bit more flexible about how we do church together. So keep that in mind for the month of September, which I think is already going to be starting next week. So, all right, here we go. Last year on Worship Sunday, we answered some questions. We talked about the questions that people often have when they're new in their faith. So they're new believers and they are wondering, what is this whole worship thing about? Why do we sing the songs that we sing? Why do we even sing? Why do we worship the way that we worship? What is it with these expressions that we use? And so we answered some of those questions, looked in the scripture and found references for a lot of those expressions and those types of songs. And we walked through all of that last year. This year we want to sort of take it to the next step, the next conversations that we have with people in their faith. Once they understand church culture and what it means to gather together, we start to hear questions from people about these things that seem to be in conflict in worship, these things that create a bit of tension in worship. And people, as they're trying to understand it a little more, kind of get a little bit deeper into this subject. So we want to actually talk about that today, some tensions in worship. Before we do, of course, we always want to lay our foundation. So let's talk about some of our priorities in worship. Certainly at Calvary, most worship teams, most worship artists would agree that engaging in worship is really just providing an opportunity for people. It's an opportunity to encounter God. It's an opportunity to connect with God. It's an opportunity to experience the presence of God, which, by the way, Dr. David McDonald did such a fantastic job of reminding us a couple of weeks back. It's also an opportunity to have an exchange with the Lord where we're worshiping Him and He's ministering to us. But most importantly, perhaps, it's an opportunity to engage in something that we were fundamentally created to do. To have relationship and to worship God. When we come together as a church, whether it's virtually or in person, these are the opportunities that are before us. I wanted to mention that Bob Coughlin, in probably my favorite book ever written about worship, he states this. He says, worship matters. It matters to God because He is the one ultimately worthy of our worship. And it matters to us because worshiping God is the reason for which we were created. And we can see all the way back in Genesis 1, I think it starts around verse 26 or so. It was actually God's great joy to create people. He created us, He blessed us, He gave us dominion over the earth, and then He sat back quite satisfied with this creation, and certainly satisfied with the potential that there was for an intimate relationship with Him. Unfortunately, we know that we broke that intimacy. We broke that relationship with our sin. And we acknowledge now that our road back to the Father is through Jesus and with the help of the Holy Spirit. This is very important to remember, and is also very important to remember in the context of worship. Jesus and His sacrifice is the reason that the veil was torn in the temple, and it's the reason why we have access to God and His presence. The Holy Spirit is the member of the Trinity that reveals the presence of God. He enables us to experience that closeness to the Father. in worship, if we take those opportunities that we referred to earlier, those opportunities to engage, to encounter, to lean in a little, we become more aware of God's presence. We become more aware of Him in our daily lives. You know, music, we know, does not cause God to be present. God is present always. We just happen to take the time when we stop and focus on Him to become more aware of Him all around us. If we do fully engage in worship in that way, if we do really lean in, it allows us to engage and focus in on Him. And in those moments, the Lord can do almost anything. I personally have very clear memories, very distinct memories of the Lord ministering to me in moments like that during times of worship. If somebody were to say, you know, do I know that Jesus loves me? Yes, absolutely. I know that I know that I know that God loves me. I know because He ministered that to me, that confident love during a time of worship. Do I know that my sin has been forgiven? Yes, absolutely. The Word tells me that my sin has been forgiven. But on top of that, God has also shown me during a time of worship a picture, really an image, of being drenched in white, of this purity that really His righteousness stood between me and my sin. He was the barrier between me and my sin, and He had covered me in white. So God can use these times when we stop and we focus on Him and we take the opportunity to worship Him. He will use those moments to encourage us at the deepest levels, to stir up our faith, to provide us with strength. He uses those moments sometimes to gently correct us, to challenge us by His Holy Spirit, and He certainly uses them to remind us of His love, of His faithfulness, of His generosity, of His patience with us, of His care for us. We need that. We need those reminders, those times of remembering in our lives, because we forget so quickly. I know this season has been very different for most of us, but certainly when life is running at a normal pace, a lot happens in 1 week. A lot happens in the lives of our children and our parents and ourselves in a 1 week period of time. So coming back together, whether it's watching church online or coming into the church building and being together and being reminded of God's love for us, is absolutely essential. So with those foundations in mind, let's run through three quick points. And these are the points I was referring to earlier that have tensions within them. So for example, let's talk today about whether worship is vertical or horizontal, and I'll explain what that means in a minute. Whether it's an internal experience or an external experience, or whether it's about the head or the heart. So we're going to talk about all of these things. Let's jump into the very first one, vertical or horizontal. So this is a question we often get. Is worship about focusing on God, which is vertical, or is worship about His people, which is more horizontal? Well, in short, worship is about God, right? I mean, it should be God-centered, it should be God-focused, it should be God-honoring. It's not a trick question. It really is what it's supposed to be about. So why then in our human experience, when we think about worship, do we think about things that really center around ourselves? Why do we think about the songs or our preferences or what the person across the aisle is doing? You know, why are these the things that cross our minds? Sometimes when we walk into church or we sit down to watch church, God is really not the first thing on our mind. Sometimes He can be the very last thing on our minds. What I would say to that is, I actually have good news, and that is that God is fully aware of our nature. He is fully aware of our human experience. The truth is, we are just not yet fully aware of His nature. And for that very reason, He commands us to worship Him. It's very clear, very early on in Scripture, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He comes first. And He doesn't come first because He needs attention. He doesn't come first because He is deficient. Actually, He comes first because we are deficient. And in this way, worship is really a gift from Him to us. It's an opportunity for us to reprioritize, to realign ourselves, and to reestablish who deserves our attention and who deserves our honor. So in that way, worship is vertical. It is about and centers around God. Absolutely. So then, is there not some element of worship that is about us? What about the types of experiences I was referring to when God ministered to me as a person? What about Hebrews 10, 24 and 25? This scripture is deep and it's talking about the hope we have because of Jesus. And then it sidetracks for a moment and says, you know, hey, when we get together, we should stir each other up. It says we should encourage one another. So it seems that scripture is a bit about us. So let's just pause for a second and acknowledge the fact that when we get together has been a very different experience this year. We haven't been getting together the way that we're used to. We've been getting together through Zoom, through WeChat, through watch services. We've been getting together through small groups online and through texting one another and the occasional phone call. And it's all been very different, this connecting together this year. But in truth, it doesn't actually matter how. It doesn't matter how we gather. What matters is that this scripture remains true, and we are encouraged to and actually responsible for encouraging one another. One of the best scriptures for this, or that confirms this, is Colossians 3:16. This is a very common scripture, commonly referred to when talking about the topic of worship, and it says this: "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God." So I think what we see in that is that today's church, just like in the early church, we are called to pay attention to one another in the context of worship. We are called to encourage one another in that space. So worship is horizontal. It does involve us. It does include us. And actually, the vertical worship of God and the horizontal encouragement of one another in that context are actually connected. They often happen simultaneously. The easiest way to put that in a sentence is to remind ourselves of the greatest commandments, which Jesus reminded us of. And that is, of course, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So God is first, but people are the very next thing. And in worship, we need to remember to be honoring God by encouraging one another, honoring God by serving one another, by helping one another, by feeding one another, honoring God by praying for one another. These are all things that are connected to worship and to the worship of God himself. Okay, let's jump into the second point. This is a common question that we get. Is worship internal or external? Is it something we should experience only on the inside? Is it something that we experience on the outside? Is worship designed for introverts? Is it designed for extroverts? You know, how does this work? What is this about? Well, this is an interesting topic. And in short, I would say, really, worship is about the heart. The word tells us that the Lord sees the heart and the heart of each individual. So we need to remember that we really don't know what's going on in the lives of people around us. We don't know what's going on in the life of the person that's worshiping quietly. We don't know what's going on in the life of the person that's worshiping really expressively. And that's okay. Nobody is in the right or in the wrong. We do not know, but God is all-knowing. And he cares deeply about what is going on within each one of us. So for example, Proverbs 4:23, great scripture, says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." So we see that the state of our heart is actually of utmost importance. It's a foundational part of who we are. And in Matthew 15:8-9, the Lord actually says something quite serious to us. He says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and they worship me in vain." So he is recognizing where the hearts of these people are and whether or not their worship is genuine towards him. So in our experience, we may see other people worshiping really expressively. We may be very encouraged by other people lifting their hands or kneeling before him. But again, we don't actually know what's happening in their hearts. Perhaps we're more encouraged by people that are worshiping quietly next to us, maybe a little more introspectively. Maybe that's a little more comfortable, a little less intimidating. But again, we don't know what's happening in their hearts. And what's great about that is it's not our job. It's not our job to know what's happening in the hearts of people. It's not our job to judge the way our neighbor is worshiping. The most important thing is the state of our hearts before the Lord. That is what matters. One thing that is common to all of us, whether we feel we're introverted or extroverted or somewhere in between, is that we experience times of worship that actually require different responses from us. We will be led in times of worship that have quiet introspection, but we'll also be led in times of worship that have joyful celebration. We will be led in times of declaration. We may be led at a time of repentance. Worship provides us with those opportunities that we spoke of earlier to connect, to engage, and to encounter. And these can all be done by introverts and extroverts alone, alike, and certainly all of us that fit somewhere in between. If I may, before we move on, I just want to throw in a few side notes. Because having said all of that, and all of that is true, it is important to remember that affection is normally something that is expressed. If you're declaring your love for someone, there is usually a show of affection as well. These types of expressions often come very naturally to us. It could be a child running into the arms of their parent, or it could be jumping up when the Canucks finally score a goal, or it could be clapping when your child's crossing the stage to get an award. All of these things are very natural expressions to us, and these expressions follow connection. So for example, that connection between the child and the parent, that connection between you and your favorite team, these are important things. In the same way, if you have a relationship with God, expressing your worship to Him can come very naturally. You may find as you grow closer to the Lord that those expressions do happen more naturally in the context of worship. You may find yourself thinking about Him more day to day. You may find yourself talking about Him more throughout the week. But if you do not feel close to the Lord, I would encourage you, take worship as an opportunity to grow closer to Him, to understand Him more, to reach out to Him, to pray to Him, and allow that relationship to begin to develop and grow and mature. It's the perfect place for it. One other thought, something to consider, I suppose, for those of us that have been believers for a while, and that is that sometimes we have to include our will in this connection process. Just as we have to make choices in our own personal lives and our human relationships, worship can be an act of the will. We don't always walk into church and just automatically feel like worshiping the Lord with abandon. And just like we have to sometimes tell ourselves, you know, I'm going to choose in this moment to be patient with my child. I'm going to choose in this moment to love my spouse no matter what. I'm going to choose today to work really hard even though I'm super exhausted. It's the same principle. I'm going to choose to worship God today is something that is extremely powerful. And by choosing to connect with Him, by choosing to engage in worship, the expression often follows. So can worship be internal? Absolutely. Can it be contemplative? Of course. Can worship be external? Can it be celebratory and loud? Sure. And actually at Calvary, we believe that both the internal and the external should be affected by the way that we worship. Okay, Calvary, I hope you're still tracking with me. I'm on my last point now. Let's talk about one of the most common things that comes up from people, particularly those that are joining the worship team or interested in talking about worship, and that is worship about the head or the heart? Which basically means, is worship something that's intellectual or is worship something that's emotional? So if you've wrestled with this, you are one of many. This is a common question. If you don't consider yourself a particularly emotional person, it might be a little unsettling. You might be a little uncomfortable around those that are quite emotional in worship. If you do tend towards emotion, perhaps people that don't tend that way, you feel maybe they're a little unattached. Well, here's a scripture for us to remember, and again, it comes back to the heart. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So this is a fantastic reminder for us. Reminder to keep both our heart and our mind set on Him and on the eternal and not on the temporary and that which we see around us, which is exactly what we're doing when we worship. If you think about it, we are keeping our attention on Him. We're giving the glory to Him. Sometimes we're passing our cares, our burdens over to Him and really putting Him in His rightful place in our lives. The truth is, in our world, and certainly in this season that we're in right now, we are in a battle for the truth. Worshiping God with our minds matters. Understanding what we're singing about matters. Understanding His word matters. Paying attention to what we're singing and engaging in those truths, it all matters. It's important that we have songs of declaration, things that declare truth or speak of his character or speak of his promises. It's important that we have songs that are fully rooted and based in the word. Renewing our minds through biblical worship is healthy, and it's vital to our understanding of our faith and of God himself. But can we just have a cerebral experience in worship? Is that fully honoring to God? I think that if you were to investigate that in the word, you would actually quickly find that God is not just a theologian, for lack of a better term. He feels and he loves and he responds and he delights and he encourages and he expresses himself. And actually, we are made in his image in this way. A whole authentic worship experience could include everything from joy to gratefulness to awe to revelation to remorse to peace. Worship gives us an opportunity to experience all of those things and to be ministered by God in those places. It's a healthy experience to be able to allow ourselves to have an internal response in worship, an emotive response during a time of worship. And really, if anybody has a reason to celebrate or to experience joy, it's us. It's the people of God. So should worship be intellectual and engage our minds? Yes, absolutely. Should it be emotional and engage our hearts? Yes, absolutely. A whole healthy connection with the Lord requires both our hearts and our minds to be set on him and actually to be surrendered over to him. So now, Calvary, as we've talked about those things, I hope you don't mind. I'd like to take an opportunity to lead you in worship for just a couple of more songs, just a few more minutes. Before we go today, before we start our week, I wonder if we could just take one more minute to worship the Lord together, to really practice that honoring of him and that vertical worship of encouraging each other and that horizontal element, to remember that it is both an internal and an external experience. It does engage both our hearts and our minds. So let's be in unity over our understanding of worship and how we walk it out. I want to close today with this scripture from Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. Fantastic scripture. It says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and with one voice, you may glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And to that I say amen, and let's worship.